SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website too, stevebick.com. What a fun weekend. Kind of a meat and potatoes weekend of racing. As soon as we got off the air on Friday, and just kind of hunkered down and looked up and watched some action, and obviously had to take care of some of the kitchen renovation responsibilities around the house, and that included moving some heavy appliances, some major appliances. I've created a shadow kitchen in the basement. So if I'm relegated at any point, like they do in the in the British soccer, you know, they take what, the last four teams every year, and they shove them into the second division. Yeah, if Tina wants to if she wants to give me the heave ho for, you know, for a couple of days, I can make do in the basement. I got a stove, I got a fridge. I could slip out the Bilco doors. Yeah, no. It's coming along. I think by the end of the week, we better be getting back to an semblance of normal, I hope. Certainly from a, on a personal note, just, you know, I kept looking forward Saturday to Carlisle Bell's race, and she ran great and finished a very good second. And frankly, the winner in that race was a wonderful story. Rich Schossberg and Clear Star. And you could see it was a pretty special moment in the winner's circle. So it was, if we're going to get beat, happy to have Shaz and his clients do well. That was a pretty joyous scene in there. And the horse's namesake, Mary's Girl, Mary wearing the jacket of Clear Star. I thought that was a nice, I heard from Pat Kelly actually after the race too. But, you know, just was kind of speculated, you know, she just, that's what she is. She's kind of a, I'm sure tomorrow with Andy called me afterward to remind me just how, you know, that he's been right about where to run her. Although I think she does real well on the turnbacks, you know, stretching out a little bit to the mile and a 16th, and then cutting back to 6.5 and 7. Anyway, I was very, really proud of having bred this horse, and you know, she went through the $100,000 mark in earnings with that placement, and she, there's not a lot to her. She's not a big horse, but you know, she really tries. If you haven't seen the race, the seventh from Saturday, she comes through horses. Like I say, she's not big, you know, so a bigger horse, you know, can bounce her around. But she came through horses. And, in fact, Kendrick Carmouche, when we talked to Tony on Thursday, we'll talk about, you know, Collegeville Girl and Kendrick tried to give her a kind of squeeze her a little bit. But she stormed through. Nice ride by Benji Hernandez. Benji rides her really well. He's ridden her about 5-6 times, including the win. Earlier, what was it, in June or July, and he cut over from the 10 hole, cut right over to the rail. That was great, and he saved ground all the way. and then kicked her out off the turn. And she wasn't going to get to the winner, but another nice placement. So should be fun. Should be a fun. And we'll keep. She's sound as can be. I mean, this is kind of a dream horse. I mean, she trots out there about every 4 to 5 weeks. This was her 21st start since the beginning of last year. She missed her 3-year-old season. A little slow to get to the races, but then she basically has run every month, essentially, for 2 years. A couple of little, windows here and there with an extra week or two, but she comes out there, and it's funny, she's one of those horses that she tries just as hard in the morning. She's like full throttle all the time. So total, let me think, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. She's 13. 13, she's been first, second, third, and fourth 13 times in 21 starts. What more could you ask? So thanks to Gary and Benji and Paul and everybody in the barn. And I think we're coming back next Saturday with Minute Mouse as well, off of her win. So the winter, nothing. We love winter racing. Although they're going to be sad to see the grass go, I'll tell you that. The grass racing, and for those that played through the weekend, the turf in New York is holding up nicely. Obviously, we might get a little precip this week, but it's made for some tough decisions. And I know on Saturday, actually, it was a main track race that threw me off for the pick four and the pick five. What a nice! How about Andy? We'll say tomorrow. He dug out Big Q in the stake on Saturday, and I can't wait to talk to him tomorrow. And that's a horse that, if you remember back to this summer, and we're going to talk to Gary Gullo. We're going to get to Gullo in this first hour. This is a terrific win for Gary. And if you think back to the summer when Big Q broke the maiden, she looked like she had some talent. The number came back kind of soft. The race that is sneaky in her PPs was actually the Adirondack. And I talked to Andy afterward. He called me to talk about our race, and I had heard him, on the pre-race, talk about Big Q, and almost 10-1. In three races in the 50s, buyer wise, and kind of a nondescript style. But Andy said that performance in the Adirondack is something to go back and look at. That it was one of those obscured, dirtied up form and obscured performances that, you salt away for next time. And this time was the time because Big Q pays 20-80 and one going away. Widening lengths, 85 buyer for Big Q. This is a big brown filly out of a four-stream mare. It looks like she'll go a little further. We'll talk to Gullo. I got to introduce. I'm sure Gullo probably knows Sid Fernando from over the years, but Gullo gets on the cycle. He's into the motorcycle. So we'll talk to Gullo. Looking forward. I don't know if you saw that picture. He put a picture up the other day from a Naira media guide when he had hair, when he had a full head of hair. there's a few guys. There should really do that. That'd be funny. Bruce Levine. Who has seen Bruce Levine with his big fro? With his, yeah, what he, that's the, I'm going to find some of those. They're great. They're great. Gary, too. Gary Siaka, too. Gary had, he had kind of a warthog, had that, right, from Welcome Back, Kotter. Robert Hedges had that, you know, kind of bushy head up there. You see these guys, and now they're all, not all bald. Well, there's quite a few. There's Tom Albertroni and Cassie with hair. And then my man Chuck Simon, who I don't think we've ever seen with hair. I'm going to dare Chuck to, he's going to have to pull out a high school picture from Spa Catholic. Because I'm not sure Chuck ever had. He says he did. I don't know if you saw him over the weekend. Chuck and I are going to do a thing probably the first week in December before we go out to Arizona. And you know, Chuck in his role with the Florida HBPA and with the Horsemen, going to have a 3-day, probably 11 to 12, 3 days in a row, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We're going to examine a variety of issues. You know, we had that sort of free range talk with him earlier in the year when I was down in the studio, but he'll go to the studio and, you know, which is not far from Palm Meadows, and he'll sit in the studio and I'll be on the, you know, on the remote. But we're going to talk about a lot of the internal issues and internal mechanisms, as it were, you know, that are difficult for the sport. So I look forward to that. I know he sort of hinted at it and gave a little preview over the weekend. We're going to talk to, it's kind of an eclectic, you know, you've got some eclectic visitors today. I'm going to talk to, I reached out to Blaine Wright yesterday. Blaine Wright, he won the Oakland Stakes at Golden Gate, which, you know, it's a good reason to reach, but I want to talk to him about an Odor, his runner-up from the Breeders' Cup, right? Good opportunity. So Blaine Wright in this hour. Johnny D. Johnny and I were texting back and forth during the Eagles-Pats game yesterday. A little frustrating for the Birds. It's a little hamstrung personnel again on offense. But it was good. It's funny. It wasn't a pretty game, but it was a good game. It was engaging. So we'll talk to Johnny. Johnny's on the men too. We should mention, and so he's taking it easy. And more. Got a couple other feelers out, and plenty of stories. We got to do some news story stuff as well. They wrapped up at Keeneland, the long 2-week bloodstock, breeding stock, and others sale. Numbers were up a tick. I think I saw 1% up, but I mean that's some of that's just circumstance in terms of dispersals and, you know, one big out here or a big name horse there, etc. But very brisk right through the end. The sale was very, very strong. And as we talked, you know, last week with Nicole Russo, that weanling market is quite something. A couple of other headlines from after we got off the air Friday. The federal judge that was dealing with the Derby lawsuit dismissed the case, ruled on the merits, and so I think I'm going to guess that that's wrapped up. Del Mar preemptively canceled as well. Friday, the news came in the middle afternoon. They're going to cancel the Thursday card, redistribute. There's a fairly big storm Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they're talking. So they got out ahead of it. Let's take an early break. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest, we know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $125 are on them. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K. And you'll get $125 when you wager $500 within your first 30 days. See what I mean? House money just for playing the races you were going to bet anyway. Check out ExpressBet.com for more information. And don't forget to sign up using promo code BYK. B-Y-K to get that $125 bonus. You're going to love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee.
Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states. Open account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions 3 straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com. Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only a low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Buffalo Bison, Bison Buffalo, Cannonball Rifle, Rifle and Cannonball. Let's wheel the thunder rumbles, let's wheel the thunder rumbles.
We're back at the races. Gary Gullo is going to join us. In fact, I can even talk to Gary about this story. Another round of fines and accusatorial press releases from the state of New York against the horsemen in New York. And you know, this goes back, of course, to the not just to the spring, but it goes back actually. It was happening behind the scenes for the last couple of years, and the Department of Labor with these press releases and the governor's office make it out like, you know, like the backstretch employees are being held in chains and leg irons. It's unbelievable. I mean, as opposed to just, you know, trying to explain and deal with trying to transition the payroll system from the way it's been forever to a, you know, more to a time-based and literally an hourly wage, you know, punch clock almost. I mean, Linda Rice put in a facial recognition system so that whenever anybody, you know, comes to the barn to, you know, whether it's feedings or whether it's checking on a horse that, you know, that needs to be checked on. I mean, this is not like taking a shift at a factory or working, you know, at Macy's. It's very different. And, you know, for them, for the, you know, for the Department of Labor, essentially, you know, essentially they're trying to show how diligent they are. And it's really, all it does is make people who want to have preconceived notions about the, you know, the treatment of, you know, workers at the track, it just, you know, gives them, you know, a thing to, you know, to attack and ridicule. And, you know, Joe Applebaum, I asked Joe if he had time today, and he's tied up, but Joe released a response to the governor's and the Labor Department's press release. And what's amazing about this is it's the horsemen in New York. Nowhere else is this really being pursued as an issue. And so all it's doing is making things even harder, you know, already difficult. Gary Gullo joins us, and I want to talk about Gary's win with Big Q on Saturday. But Gary, you've been watching this. You've gone, you know, our man went through it as well, and is paying off the fines. Everybody is under scrutiny here, and almost everybody is taking a hit of some kind. What's your response to this?
You know, it's a different way of you know, the way to do business now. You know, especially in New York. I mean, you know, I grew up on a racetrack, and I just, that, you know, all we knew was you have to just take good care of the horses and stuff like that. But, you know, the help, you know, we always went with whatever the, you know, the pay is, you know, and if you always, like for me, I always tried to pay more so I could try to get the, you know, the better help, you know, that's, you know, that's the way things were, you know, back then. Today, it's more like, you know, with the time clocks, and really, it's not even so much the time. It's the what they really want is the, you know, the documented, the signatures, the, you know, it's like, you know, it's just doing a business, I think, in New York, generally with anything you do in New York is, you know, sexual harassment and, you know, all kinds of courses that, you know, everybody has to take. And, you know, it's different, I think, for guys who have been on a racetrack for a while. But I think the newer, you know, the younger guys, it's a part of, you know, the way things are today, and they can kind of handle it a little better than, you know, than I can.
But yeah.
I got my son, actually, who's doing all my labor board stuff. I got one son who's a blacksmith that does, you know, my shoeing, and he does Michelle Nevin and Colesneck also. But my other son does all my labor board stuff, and he comes in to make sure that, you know, everything's done the right way that they want it. But, you know, there's so many different things that you really don't know what's new that's coming up that they're just looking to find you for, you know.
Well,
that article that came out really wasn't, you know, I think it's more all politics from Cuomo, you know, just about how he got the money. And I think those guys got really treated unfairly thinking that they were underpaying them, and how they were stealing money from the guys that are working. You know, it's more, you know, when you look at it, and you know, Steve, when it's like a big family back there. I mean, we have, I had an owner of mine that came in and gave 25 turkeys out and all of the stuff, and it's just like, you know, and we all kind of work together. I mean, if somebody's not happy working there, you know, they move somewhere else, or they go, you know, back and forth. It's not like it's a, you know, it's not like we're a sweatshop there, you know.
Well, exactly, and it's a very different environment anyway, and nobody, you know, once you get the morning hours behind you, and then, you know, essentially, most of the teams, you know, they've got a good part of the afternoon to themselves, especially on off days, and then they'll come back for feeding in the afternoon, and they'll come back in the evening again and check on them. I mean, they're going to punch in a clock every time instead of just being paid a prevailing rate, like a day rate. I mean, which has been, you know, a very.
Well, we have to definitely punch them in now. I mean, that's how you have to. Not only have to do that, you have to make sure that you're documenting that when they go to Aqueduct, because we're in Nassau County at Belmont, and when you go to Aqueduct, that's Queens. Now, it's a whole different rate, and it's a whole different lore that goes for the city, between the city, and you're talking about it's only an 8-mile difference or whatever.
Yeah,
but once
they
get on the van and they cross the border, you know, it's a whole different thing. So, it's really not made so much for us, but I believe that the way I believe things are, they're looking at something in racing in New York, and I think they're squeezing us, and I think that they have other agendas, and they see that, like a trainer, say Linda Rice or Karen McLaughlin makes $25 million in purses, and they think that Karen's got the money, you know, that he made that kind of money, and he, you know, so I think, you know, they're looking at the money, and they're looking at, like, Chad Brown got $1.6 million from the feds. So the state looks at it and says, well, the feds got that kind of money. We, you know, let's go after them, too. You know? But it's a challenge for us all, and it's keeping a lot of people away from New York, which I don't blame them.
Yep.
Because, you know, it's very tough to do business. And how much do you charge the owners? I mean, my day rate keeps going up and up and up because it's just, you know, extra things that you have to do, you know.
Well, we haven't even discussed, this is over and above the challenges of the workman's comp.
The workman's comp actually is so much easier than with this labor board, because the labor board, you really, you know, you're trying to do everything the right way, but if they come after you, you know, they're going to find things, and, you know, the fines are crazy, where most of us really, you know, 90% of us really can't afford what they really want. Like, you know, if they came in and said to, like with John Hurtler, had a few horses, you know, we're fining you $50,000. And if they don't, you know, they'll do a little negotiation, but they want their money right away. You know, it's like, you know, the IRS and stuff like that. So it's like, guys like us, we're just trying to, we're really keeping people employed and, you know, just trying to make it, really.
Yep. Exactly. It feels like low hanging fruit, you know, like an easy target, and they're hitting you know, guys now, and like a pinata. It's very hard.
And it's like guys with Siakam and me, like, our stables are probably better off going to Monmouth, you know, where you're getting a per start fee, and you're getting your workman's comp paid, and you don't have the labor board on your ass over there. You know, you still want to do everything the right way. I mean, that's the way you're doing business today, but you don't have these people, like, just on top of you, squeezing you and squeezing you, you know? Yeah. Where New York really has to step up, and, you know, before we keep raising our own, is more and more, I think, a per start fee or something for the owner and for the trainer. You know, instead of making the purses say $90,000, you know, you can make it, $78,000 or something like that. It's really not going to, you know, it's still coming out of the owner's share, but, you know, it's still helping out instead of keep charging more, because you're going to have to keep charging the owners more and more and more. You know, so.
Well, the best solution for this is to send out horses like Big Q in $100,000 stake races.
Well, yeah, those are the good things. She ran good. I mean, if you have all good horses like that, I'm sure, you know, and they still take it on at Chin Chad, you know, Karen, they got all good horses, you know, and they got, that's a big, you know, it's a big business changing thing. You know?
Yeah, so. Of course. Now, we'll probably get Joe tomorrow, and, you know, Joe has inherited this job from the late Rick Violette, and all these headlines do, Gary, is make you realize how did Rick put up with all this for as long as he did?
You know, I tell you the truth, Rick, he did a great job, and he, you know what, he put out little fires,
yeah.
You know, and before it got to be big fires like this right now, you know, and Joe's doing a great job. He's trying with them, but they lie to him, you know, they're politicians, and you know what? They just, whatever it may, like Cuomo, you know, the way he says, oh, I got back $1 million, you know, from trainers, yeah. You know, stealing from their employees and stuff like that. You know, it's just the way things are written. And just about the whole business, the way this whole business is, you know, with things that are going out in California and, you know, just, you know, big black eyes to everything that, you know, we all got to just try to change the way things are and hope for the best of everything.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, as you said, you grew up on the track and, you know, under your dad's supervision. And, you know, there's a whole generation of guys that, you know, you essentially all grew up together. And, you know, you're all... You know, you're all getting to a point where it's got to be, you know, it's got to get difficult, Gary, to because I, you know, I had to have these talks with Gary, with Siaka a lot, and it you know it's got to weigh on you guys. I mean, it just you wonder if it's worth it.
Well, it does weigh on us, and you know, we kind of, you know, whoever comes out in the mornings, you know, could hear it, you know, and it's for us who's been around, and it's like. You know, you're just saying it's easier to walk away and get the freak out of this business and just rather drive an Uber car and where you don't have the pressures of everything. You know, it's tough enough just to try to win races and keeping your horses in good shape and worrying about if the racetracks are safe and worrying about, you know, then you got to worry about all of these other things that are out there, too. You know, it's just, you know, it's difficult for a guy who's got, you know, just say for a guy who's got 20 horses, 25 horses or under, you know, if you want to win races, you're going to run them, have to run them in the right spots in the claiming end of it, and you're going to lose your horse. If you're 6-1 or under, you're losing your horse, and if you, you know, to try to, even if you have owners to replace them, just to try to replace them, there's shakes, you know, and before you know it, those 20 horses turn into 12 horses, and now you're worrying about losing them, now it tries to, you run them not in the right spot, and you're not winning. And eventually you're going to be, you know, squeezed, you know. And if you think you have good horses, then you're running against Chad and Todd and them. So New York's very difficult. Very, very difficult.
Exactly. Very difficult. Well, and all you have to do is...
By the way, your horses are running great. I mean, your trainer's doing a hell of a job with those horses.
He is. And, you know, He takes, you know what, it's funny, this comes up. He takes such pride, you know, when I can't be there, he'll call me like from the paddock, you know, after they get saddled. And they said, are you watching? Do you see how good she looks? Do you see how good, you know, he it feels great when,
yeah.
You know, when he knows he's sending them out and that they're doing good. That doesn't mean they're always going to run good or the, you know, circumstances are going to go your way. But no, we've had as good a year as we've ever had in over 10 years.
They're running good. They look good. They're running good. And,
And then, well,
so
then when
we're gonna go to Arthur Avenue on Tuesday on him. So
ooh,
he's buying,
really?
He's buying all the Bajuta, yeah.
Nice. Well, he took, you know, we're getting used to this whole new environment with Gary and Joe moving from Garden City to Merrick. There's a whole new landscape of restaurants that Gary's discovering. So he's terrorizing the South Shore.
He's trying to discover it. You know, the traffic is killing him.
We went to Mio Posto. Mio Posto, which is fairly new. It was very good. It was very good. It was good. We went the other night, and one of our partners, Steve Carlin. Steve took us. It starts with a V, and I'm going to forget the. He'll send me a text if he's listening. That was very good. No, we're getting the lay of the land. We checked it out when I was in town last week. And we're coming down, I think, Saturday. Minute Mouse on Saturday, I think. So, I like going over to Aqueduct too. It's
Aqueduct actually is a nicer place to watch races than Belmont's beautiful and all, but I think they got a nice the Horseman's Lounge there. They got going.
How about that?
I think he's moving in the right direction with everything. Martin, they're doing a great job right now as far as taking care of the owners. And the fans a little bit better, and I think things are in that area moving in the right direction. Watching the races, nice TVs. I think it's a better racing atmosphere at Aqueduct than really at Belmont.
That's an interest. It's interesting because it's certainly more intimate. And because it's typically the cool weather, everybody's, indoors and it's brisk. It's always busy, there's a lot to be said. I did bring up this new Horseman's and Owner's Lounge that they crafted. And apparently, Elise Jacobs says they're going to push down further into the boxes there and they're going to expand it even more.
Yeah, and while they're having food there, it's all free. Almost like a carving board there and stuff like that. And it's a nice place. You can see the paddock. You can see everything. No, it's a nice place. It's good.
Well, you had to be happy watching this performance. Big Q, she debuted so smashingly at Saratoga. It didn't, the races that she's been running, she hasn't set any big figures until Saturday. And talk about the development, because you tried her in the Adirondack. Andy Serling said she ran sneaky good in there, and he latched onto her and he said that's a talented filly. I remember him talking about it, and he came back and picked her on Saturday. She paid $20.80. Talk about cutting back to this kind of company.
Andy actually, he really does a great job handicapping. He picks some horses that are prices, and he really does an unbelievable job. I watch him, and he's pretty on top of things. And with my horses, I'm just thinking, how the hell does he know that? How does he figure these things out? But with this horse was, she got stopped at, I ran it, she won first time out, and then I
opening
ran it back in the Adirondack, and she came up the rail, and she got stopped pretty good at the eight ball. Not like she was going to win it or anything like that, but she did get stopped, and she had a rough trip. I ran it back a little too close, back in the New York Red Stake, and I think I squeezed it too much for a two-year-old filly to run three times up at Saratoga. And I did the wrong thing there with her. So I just gave her a break, just stopped on her and freshened her up. And, she always showed me she could run. She's got ability. And she's a tough filly. She'll, try to kick you, bite you. She doesn't really take any crap from anybody. And, and she's been great, and she ran a great race. With the buyer numbers, I think, I don't know why, but it was like I had another filly, that Miss Pepina, that was running, running fourth. He ran fourth in the spinaway, and all of the numbers in the spinaway wasn't that good. Like, the two-year-old filly numbers really weren't that good anyway, but I think with New York breds, I don't think they give you that big of a number. But I heard she ran an 85 buyer.
Yeah.
I think you might have told me that.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, 85 buyer. Yeah, so... you know, she ran a good race. And the good thing about her is she's a Stallion Stake horse, which is coming up in December.
Nice.
It's a $500,000 race. I mean, it's a lot of money, you know, for those kind of horses.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah.
How did, let me ask you a question. How did Duchess View, how did they end up with her? Because she was a weanling RNA at the fall sale.
Well, I think he got her on some kind of deal he got. I think the board bill or something. And then I think they tried to sell her and, you know, nobody wanted her.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Everything happens for a reason. Just like I told Mike, you know, with Duchess View, you know what? Just things happen for reasons. Either you sell, you know, we had another horse that won first time out that we could have sold for a lot of money and, you know, that didn't really pan out, and I think it's going to work out good, too, so.
Well, this is, you're in a nice spot then, so you'll just wait for that race in December.
Yeah, and it works out, the timing-wise, it works out good, you know, for her anyway, so I don't screw her up again.
Well, she won the way she won this is what was so impressive. You know, she when you watch her set up shop and is, you know, she's stalking Time Limit, and you could see that Lascano is sitting chilly, not asking at all. And when she takes over, just powered away.
Yeah, she ran well. I think she'll go longer too, you know.
She galloped out like she would. I mean, she galloped out.
Yeah.
You know, certainly.
Yeah, it was a quick race for the times, you know, the way the times have been. So I think even yesterday they went 12-1 in the Rapoli's horse in the stake. I think they ran 12-1.
Well, and Dream Bigger and got an 84 buyer, got a tick less.
Yeah. So. Well, hopefully things will go right.
Well, excited for you, and this was a big step forward for Big Q. What any other 2-year-olds you're hiding in there in the barn?
No, not really. Nothing that great. You know, we got some other ones coming up that ran already, but nothing like no first time starters that I'm excited about. You know.
That's all right. You got a stake winner, and you got a big target, and she's serious, no doubt. Excited for you, Gary, and for the team at Duchess View. This is
I'm happy for them. They've been in the business a while, breeding and stuff like that. And that's a tough business too, is breeding. And you know, we ended up buying 3 mares out of the Keeneland sale because I think, you know, it's so hard to buy babies today. And you got to be at that top level if you could, because that's, you know, otherwise I think the bottom is just giveaways. And it's, I think the game is turning away. You're going to have to get quality or it's going to be really tough. It's a race in New York anyway.
So you bought some mares in fall?
We bought 3 mares down in Keeneland. Well, we spent close to $500,000 for them. So,
nice.
That's with we did that with Bob Peterson's stable, Melfi and Valeri, and Duchess View has a percentage also. So, we'll see what happens there. And you know, I know it's a 3-year plan or whatever, but at least you got a shot of getting something decent.
Absolutely. Well, you certainly when they've got some talent, you're in position to take advantage, without a doubt. And happy to see this. Big Q, Gary Gullo, and you can follow Gary on Twitter. And I was making fun of the picture you put up from the media guide with Gary Gullo with hair.
Yeah, I like that one. I caught that. I said, let me put that. How'd you like the one with Siaka?
Oh,
did you see that one?
did you put it up?
Yeah.
I'll go find it. I love it.
All right, I will pick up some mozzarella and some ravioli.
You got it, Gary Gullo, everybody. Big Q.
Right.
I love it. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. And I also appreciate him giving us, you know, you got a real perspective about how, you know, how a horseman, you know, how they're dealing with this, you know, a medium sized kind of barn. And Gary giving you, you know, the frank response to, you know, the Labor Department, the state and the feds, you know, basically just coming in and you know, running roughshod over everybody's accounting, and then beating their chest like they you know, they're hanging some skin on the wall that shows how diligent they are. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We got Blaine Wright is going to join us, and much, much more at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The quest for $1 million is underway, but there are still some great prizes to be won for those looking to jump into the TwinSpires.com $1 million.
Home, at the track, or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's B-Y-K, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K to get your $125 bonus.
Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Let it never be said, the romance is dead, cause the soul is
We're back at the races, about 10 minutes to the top of the hour after a... that conversation with Gullo, for those of you that ever go to Belmont, if you go over to the training track, which is where Gullo is going to hang out mostly, that's what that conversation was. That's like when you're leaning on the rail there at the training track, and you just, you know, everybody's back and forth, and it's one of the great scenes, actually. And it's not limited, obviously, to Belmont. You know, wherever you go in racing, that you know, the horsemen and women and owners and everybody that hangs out, and they're giving each other the business. And you got to have a thick skin. Blaine Wright knows what I'm talking about. Blaine, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Not at all. That's one of the best parts, right? Of the morning when letting your horses come out and get some gallops in, and you're sitting there and everybody's giving each other the business.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's you're right about having thick skin. I mean, you know, you sit there and bust a guy all morning long, and he smiles and you laugh and have a good time with it.
Absolutely. And that's universal around the game. Well, I wasn't going to miss the opportunity to call you and congratulate you on the win at Golden Gate in the Oakland with Baja Sur, who, you know, is deserving of a conversation, a 100 buyer. But I figured here's a perfect chance to also let you take a bow for bringing Anneau d'Or to the Breeders' Cup and surprising everybody. Let's start there. What a terrific performance.
Yeah, well, you know, awfully exciting for guys like us from NorCal and Washington and Vancouver, B.C. to, one, have a horse of that caliber, and then that's kudos to Peter Redekop stepping up, and he's put some, you know, quality babies in my hands the last couple of years, and you know, he come out and just drilled them the first time, and won like a good horse should, obviously. And then the thing I liked about it was he never wandered when he got clear. He's kind of a big lazy colt, and you know, hey, we just kind of looked at our options around the country, and there wasn't a lot of races out there offered. And, you know, we said, well, hey, what about just taking them to the big show? You know, if we can get in the turf, we can get in the turf. And if not, let's throw a rock and see if we can hit the dang moon.
Unbelievable. And, you know, it was one of those circumstances where all of the handicapping we were doing, Blaine, and talking about the race, and certainly, at least up until, you know, until Maxfield, you know, ended up getting knocked out of the race and having to withdraw, and then the gates open and Dennis's moment and his situation, eight rings, you know, Scabbard, you know, was probably the fourth horse that everybody was talking about. But it was one of the interesting scenarios in the whole Cup was here's a second time starter coming off a debut win on the turf and just not knowing, you know, what to expect. And, you know, you obviously, your profile has become national, especially after last year or this year. And, you know, it was one of those situations where you wondered, well, are they doing it because, you know, the chance for Mr. Redekop to, you know, to come to the races and the big stage, you know, or is there some talent? And so, you know, you put it all together and you end up getting beat in neck.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that's all the above. I mean, Peter is 80-something years old, and, you know, he stepped his game up. And I mean, heck, if you watch the horse as a two-year-old knee in training sale and you give $480,000 for a Medalla d'Oro, and you know, anybody that would have watched him train at Golden Gate, they would have known kind of what we're doing. Now, honestly, we never had our Breeders' Cup on our sights before we ever ran him. However, you know, this horse was ready early. He was supposed to run in July at Del Mar a mile on the turf, and unfortunately, you know, he got a little stiff on us behind, and we had to back off him for a while and jog him, and then we brought him back. And, you know, at that point, Mr. Redekop just kind of said, hey, you know what, we're at home. There's a race there. Let's just go ahead and run him at home. If he's a good enough horse, we'll make the money up down the line. You know, talking about the difference in maiden special weights at Golden Gate versus Santa Anita. And, you know, hopefully this horse can continue on to prove to be that he can run with them horses. I myself never, you know, I wasn't going to let the turf to dirt be an excuse for us. I was more concerned about the surface change being that, you know, Santa Anita's been real protective of late, and they've got a deep, slow racetrack. I knew it maybe favored us coming off the Tapeta track at Golden Gate because we have a similar surface to that, although our track's faster than theirs is right now. That was probably my bigger concern about anything. And once we got down there and I saw my horse on the track and I saw him get over the dirt and I saw, you know, how he was acting and things, I kept telling everybody we're set up for a big race. Nobody's looking at us. We drew a perfect post, especially for our jock. You know, Juan Hernandez done a heck of a job. And I've heard people say he moved too early, rode him too hard, but he's a big lazy colt, and one person that knows the horse is Juan Hernandez. That's one reason why we chose to stick with him, is because, you know, somebody else maybe would have let him lagged on just a little bit, and Juan knows you got to keep after him, and he did that. And hey, we came up a head short in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and you know, we came away from the race like we won it, and everybody just was ecstatic. So I'm sure we surprised the whole country. However, you know, I'm hoping he can come back and justify that race, and it won't be a surprise to everybody.
Well, and speaking of coming back, he came back and got his first work in over the weekend, actually, and a nice 48 3/2 mile. What kind of a schedule are you and Mr. Redekop thinking about for him?
Well, right now, we're going to point for the Los Al Fraternity. That's the race that makes sense. It's, you know, 5 weeks following this last race. And, you know, looking at our horse, we weighed him when he got home, and he'd lost 6 pounds from the time that he weighed for the race to 2 weeks ago. I weighed him again yesterday. He's gained 18 pounds in that last week, and he had a, you know, just a sharp, nice, I don't want to call it an easy work, but he came back to the barn, took a deep breath. He's, you know, I think the horse is mentally getting it right now. And it took one race to kind of pick his workouts up about 2 seconds. He was a lazy, you know, didn't really put a lot into his workouts. And I'd seen him getting outworked in company by a horse or two a couple times. And, you know, you just wonder, them young horses, they just maybe get a little bit complacent and lazy and get tired of what I call practicing. And then you put them in the show, and their class, you know, starts to come out with them. So, you know, we'll probably go Los Al Fraternity as of right now, as long as our blood work looks good and the next couple weeks go how we want it to. And then I think we'll gear them down for a little while. And, you know, we learned a lot last year, being our first time on the road with another twist of fate, that, you know, you have a horse and it's a grind. You're traveling and you're training hard and you're training on different surfaces and things of that nature. So, you know, first things first, the horse got to take you there. And the second thing is, you know, I need to do a good job of managing them to that point.
Well, as you said, whether it was another twist of fate and what you did with him last year, whether it it was a horse like Alert Bay, who had such a nice career and who you kept going, you know, well for an extended period. I mean, it's obvious you can handle all different kinds of horses, horses with different aptitudes in terms of surface. And this was exciting. And when I kind of looked up, Lane, and figured out what had happened, you know, with that with that enormous trifecta between Storm the Court and No Door and Wrecking Crew, I kind of smiled to myself on that Friday. I said, Blaine Wright, they've got a pork chop past the Bloodhounds with this one.
Yeah, one of these days we're going to bring one of them trophies home.
That a boy. That's, well, you've got to get to this point, and you know, that's the jumping off point. Then you go forward from there. And speaking of another twist of fate, what's going on with him?
He just came back to the barn just last week. He had 30 days of swimming at Premier Equine, and we just started jogging him here. We don't really have any plans for the horse at this point. Right now it's just practice to get him back to the races.
Is, I suppose, I mean, everybody with a 3-year-old late at the season likes to think about the Malibu. Is got enough time to gear him up for something like that, or more after the first of the year?
I'm more worried about getting him to a race, and you know, we don't have nothing mapped out for him right
all
now.
Right.
Just right now, we're just planning on getting him to a workout. Tell you the truth.
Fair enough. And he looks good to you? How's he look?
Well, he's matured quite a bit. And, you know, he's a kind of a high strung horse. He gets a bit hot and he wants to do more than I'm ready to let him do at this point. So, you know, right now it's just kind of controlling him, getting muscles toned and hopefully start getting air in his lungs. And he's been off a long time. So, at this point, you know, right now we're just marking a chart and watching.
Well, and interestingly, it's exactly 6 months today. Preakness was on May 18th, so he was gone exactly 6 months, essentially. And that probably, you know, given how intense it was from November of last year through Preakness for him, you know, he did a lot of advancing, a lot of development in a short period of time.
Oh yeah, and then you know we traveled. You know, unfortunately for my stable, we got stuck in
yeah.
Sunland. You know, I went through that EVH-1 quarantine, and we couldn't come back to California. And hats off to my foreman and his gallop boy. Those guys stayed on the road for 6 weeks, and Sunland Park was more than accommodating to us. Those are great folks down there. I'd highly recommend anybody that's looking at any stake races there that they treat you so good. And they went out of their way to make sure my guys were comfortable being away from home. And, you know, in hindsight, you know, I guess things happen for a reason. But he had a lot of travel miles on him. And you know, you're vying for the lead at the quarter pole in the Preakness. You know, I've never experienced anything like that in my life. So that was amazing for us. I wish we could have came away from there with hitting the board. But, you know, unfortunately for my horse and our connections, it didn't happen that day. And, you know, hopefully can get the horse back to that same level.
Well, we'll be watching. It's nice to get the horses that participated during the classic season. It's nice to get them back underway. And you can, all you have to do is look at Vino Rosso to see what's out there for, you know, for horses that, you know, needed a break from the grind of the Triple Crown. In the meantime, you've been keeping Baja Sur under wraps, and you've been keeping this Washington bred that you've been hiding this horse. This is a nice gelding that probably the majority of the country isn't even aware of. What's going on with this guy?
Well, you know, he's a local horse from Washington, and you know, John Janine Mariansky and Gail and Jerry Schneider, those folks are hats off to them. They got me going in this business when I first went out on my own from being assistant with Grant Forrester. John Janine and Jerry and Gail, they gave me horses, kind of put me on the map in the Northwest up there. And John and I look at a lot of yearlings together every year, and we make a good combination. And he told me to find the best colt in the sale, and I told him I found him. And I said, don't leave the sale without that colt, John. And, you know, he kind of gasped just a little bit. And I says, I'm not kidding. If you got to give 100 for him, that's the colt we want to get. And from day one, he come out and just, he blew all the other two-year-olds away in my barn and came on the track and showed his stuff. And, you know, he got Jen as a young horse, so we gave him the time off and probably more time than he needed. But they're local folks that support the industry in Washington, and you know, we only run 4.5-5 months of the year, but they certainly wanted to showcase their horse at home. And then this last year, he came out gangbusters again, and we had some plans with him. And this horse, he can be a little rambunctious and whatnot. He hurt himself in the stall, and it cost me about 60 days of just hand walking. Nothing serious, just he got down or kicked the wall or something crazy happened during the night. And you know what? We just had to take him out of training and treat him and get that thing down. So we really never, you know, planned on a California campaign per se. But it wasn't time to turn him out for the winter. So we decided, well, he's Golden State, not place to start would be Fresno. And we came up ahead short that day. He probably needed the race, but no excuses. He learned how to rate a little bit that day. You know, I knew that this horse was going to be, at some point, you're not going to make the lead with him. So we'd been practicing putting him behind horses. knowing that he'll relax. And then since that race, he come back to Golden Gate and has just been super. And you always want your horse to run a race like that. You never, you hate to come out and say, oh, he's going to run a huge one today and this and that. You get pretty quiet and reserved about it when you get nervous because you see, you think they're sitting on a big one. And, you know, now that I look back and I watch it, and I'm awfully proud of that little horse and my barn crew. And like I say, without the owners in the game putting the money into these horses, none of this is possible. So, you know, I certainly want to give a shout out to my clients on that.
He's a smiling tiger and a gelding, and out of a Supremo mare bred by John Roche in Washington, $67,000, which is real money. And he's 5 for 6 with a second.
Yeah. So we'll probably run him once more this year. And then, you know, our focus with that horse is going to be the Long Acres Mile. That's our signature race in Washington.
You bet.
And you know, Mr. Schneider's been fortunate enough to win it a couple times. He actually won it last year. He beat me ahead this last year with the SoCal horse that he's owned some partnership. And I haven't been able to win the dang race. And Mr. Mariansky and his wife have, I think, run in it one time. So we don't want to overrun him, but we kind of feel after this race, as long as the horse is doing good, we're gonna take a shot at something.
Well, he seems to train really well too over the Golden Gate, over the Tapeta, and you know, he's got the two surface performances at Emerald and at Fresno on dirt. So it feels like, you know, there's almost, you know, you can almost do anything with him, you know, in terms of taking him places. And Long Acres Mile, and in fact, that'll conjure up John White. I'm sure we'll get John excited with Long Acres.
John and my dad go back a long ways. I think he must have been the beat writer for Daily Racing for him.
Yeah.
But him and my dad were pretty good pals over the years. So I always try to stop in and say hello if I see he's down at Santa Anita when I go. And you know, I know he's always a big supporter of our Long Acres Mile when it comes that time of year.
Well, it's not just that time of year, Blaine. He's the Long Acres Mile gets mentioned almost monthly. Somehow John is able during visits to tie something to Turbolator and the Long Acres Mile.
Yeah.
I just texted him. He's listening. He'll be on later in hour three. I love it. So I'm sure he's laughing. Blaine, a lot of good things going on. Another Twist of Fate back. Does he get the number one stall, or has he been supplanted?
Well, you know what, we don't quite do the number one stall thing. I mean, Alert Bay had stall number 7 for years, and I always said when he left the barn kind of went through a little transition because he was the alpha horse, and right now. Since Anuta Orr kind of took the reins, he has the alpha stall right now, but you know, things can change. You never know what can happen there.
So, I love it. Well, you got a lot of things to be excited about, the runner up in the juvenile. And you know what, if he wins the Futurity, and I'll see you at Los Al, next month. If he wins the Futurity, he puts himself arguably in, I would think, depending on what happens with Tis the Law, he puts himself in an argument for being a finalist as 2-year-old champion.
Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you I haven't thought about that, but I'm trying not to put too much pressure on the horse. And, you know, my mom and dad always taught me, you let them take you there. And I'm trying to allow myself to do that. I just went over the PPs for the Los Al Futurity this morning and kind of seeing who we might face and wondering if there'll be any supplements and that thing. And, you know, ultimately it comes down to, at this point, doesn't matter who's going to be in the race. I got to have my horse good. And if he's not, then
that's right.
You know, we got to make adjustments.
Well, it's been a very special year. In fact, your best year in terms of earnings, and still some big targets left before the calendar turns. Blaine Wright, it's always a treat to have you. Congratulate Mr. Redekop for us as well, and I'll see you at Los Al.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate you having me on.
Not at all. Blaine Wright, everybody. And not only was there an Odor in the juvenile and another twist of fate coming back, but this is a horse, this Washington bred, 100 buyer, and he's 5-6. Baja Sur. Sur spelled like they do out in the West, like Big Sur, S-U-R. Baja Sur. I should look that up on a map. And see exactly, that's got to be down where? It's got to be down the coast, right? Down in Mexico there, on, right? The Baja? Just guessing. Here, let's check. We'll do it together while we wait for Johnny D. We're going to get Johnny. Yeah, Baja Sur. Yeah, Baja Sur, the Baja California Peninsula in northwest Mexico. The state capital, La Paz, has the Whale Museum and a promenade overlooking the Gulf of California. Nearby Espiritu Santo Island has dive sites and beaches. Oh, this is down toward Cabo. Okay. I've never been to Cabo. Very nice. You get yourself a geography lesson with today's show. No charge. Back after this, Johnny D.
Racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit the mall at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Johnny, we're sorry. Won't you come on home? We're worried. Won't you come on? What is wrong in my life? I must get drunk every night. Johnny,
we're back at the races. Sorry. 15 into hour two. Johnny D joining us with a little FYC. I've got like three Johnny themes, but we always come back to Fine Young Cannibals and